You said you were good.
We are good.
There's the blue light. Okay, with that, I'm calling to order the Business and Labor Subcommittee on Workforce Development Committee for Thursday, April 23rd. Getting started a little late today so everybody could enjoy their mornings. I'm sure nobody had 7 o'clock call-ins or anything else going on this morning. Yeah, right. We are going to open up a work session on the long-awaited HB 2398. Work session open, and Kevin, could you give us a brief update, maybe do a run over the Dash 4 amendments, and then we did finally get the fiscal in on 2398, so we can discuss that too, and we have Erica Kleiner here that can address the fiscal. It's a little scary on the surface, but there's a good explanation. So, Kev, if you can give a rundown.
Vice Chairman Huffman, I'm going to have to work on that, and Chair Witt, who we've quarantined down at the far right, the safety of all involved. We'll be rolling him back to the hospital immediately after the...
No, the public health issue.
There's just federal dollars involved in this bill to help assist with recovery. Members of the committee, before you once again, and hopefully for the last time, it can need to be the last time, is HB 2398. The ship is finally coming into port. Before you is both the SMS, the fiscal, the revenue, and also the Dash 4 amendments. You recall the Dash 4 amendments was a final technical tweak with respect to the bill. It adds everything that was in the Dash 2, the different programs that we've discussed, but it also adds an emergency clause. It took out some remaining language that was inadvertently left in the bill from the Dash 2 amendments and kind of cleans it out. And in addition to that, this is the amendment we're going to Dash. I've looked through my notes, and I don't see that we have adopted the Dash 4 at this point, so we may need to do that. I know that, as you indicated, Vice Chair Huffman, Erica Kleiner is here from the fiscal office to give a little bit of an explanation. She's, I guess, our aspirin to the heart attack I had when I first saw it this morning, and I think she can give kind of flesh out the fiscal a little bit more, so there's more explanation. Again, this is with respect to the Dash 4. So,
well, first of all, Kevin, I think you give at least me way too much credit when you open up by saying you will recall. This thing has drug on so long. Hopefully there is some recollection as to what 2398 is and what it does, the long-awaited. We did think before we entertain a motion on the Dash 4s that we would invite a couple of guests up and explain the fiscal and give an opportunity for the committee to ask questions and review the paperwork and refresh your memory or whatever. Yes, sir. Kevin?
Vice Chair Huffman, just in the interest of making sure that the recall is what it is, the Dash 4 amendment specifically, there were approximately 6 programs that were incorporated into the Dash 4 in addition to what I already said, the Career Readiness Certificate, which we've had a great deal of testimony about, the Trainer's Training Program. It also has a discussion of the Transition Center, the ACE-like program that we discussed, the pilot programs, as well as the Inventory Directory and the Summer Youth Program. That again was the Dash 2 amendment. We folded the emergency clause and took out the remaining language from the bill that wasn't consistent with that in the Dash 4, and I think that's where we're at.
None of the programs that you just ran down the list were taken out with the Dash 4s. Is that correct? Those are still intact?
The best way of looking at it is the Dash 4 is essentially the gut and stuff. There was a handful, there's a little language that's left over in the bill, but by and large the Dash 4 is primarily a gut and stuff of the bill, with the exception of those terms here and there. So,
one of the things that we needed to do, and one of the things that took 2398 so long to get to this point, was it's, as Erica will explain in a second, it's essentially federal funding because we had nothing in the state, and we also needed to make sure that the stuff we got into 2398 really did go along with the governor's recommendations and the governor's plan. So anyway, once Kevin and Cam and many others worked on the process and got us to this point, we needed to make sure we had something that we could actually get through. With that, I'd like to call up Erica Kleiner and also Greg White. Would you please join her? And Erica, I'm going to ask you to identify yourself, and I may ask Kevin, actually, to give you some guiding questions to walk us through the fiscal, if that would be okay.
That's fine. Vice Chair Huffman, members of the committee, Erica here is here, and primarily, as I indicated to her beforehand, this is kind of very short notice for her. I don't think she was anticipating being down here, but on the other hand, we wanted to make sure that, given the size of the fiscal and some of the complications that we're fleshing out, and for Erica primarily, I think what we're looking for is a bit of an explanation with respect to the dollars. As I understand it, we have approximately for the 2009-2011 biennium a $15 million sum, but I think for clarification's sake, we're looking for what that 15, where it comes from, what it represents, just to kind of flesh that out from kind of a 35,000-foot view. So,
sure. Vice Chair Huffman and members, for the record, my name is Erica Kleiner. I'm with the Legislative Fiscal Office. And there's no state general funds associated with this fiscal. It's federal funding that the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development have already received. Some of the federal funding from the U.S. Department of Labor, some of the funding they need to use for specific purposes. Another portion of the pot of funding they receive they can use for discretionary purposes. And the department's plan is to prioritize specifically the career readiness certification program and the summer youth employment program and use that federal funding for that purpose. Now, I did note in the fiscal that that does come at the expense of other potential uses for the funding, but again, that's the department's plan for the funding. So essentially, they've kind of earmarked that funding for the purpose of those programs.
Okay. Any questions, or Kevin, any comments?
Just to clarify one quick thing, and that includes the $12 million, which is the summer work program. That is also federal dollars, and that has been essentially earmarked or deposited with the CCWD, and that is incorporated into this. Is that?
Vice Chair Huffman and members, that is my understanding. It's actually federal stimulus dollars that the department has already received. And I believe it's a portion of the total amount they've received.
Questions? Representative Colby?
A real simple question. I assume this bill has a subsequent to Ways and Means for the authorization to spend the money?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric.
Can I just ask? Yes, thanks, Mr. Huffman. So the summer program, is that referenced anywhere in the bill itself? Where is that exactly in the bill?
Members of the committee, Representative Dembro, if you were to go, let me see if I can pull it up here, Section 5, page 5, well, that creates, that's the money is deposited into the summer work program. That's the creation. That creates the fund. This is, when I say the gut and stuff, it's my understanding, reading through the bill, that the language, that the sole bits of language that remains in, from 2398 that isn't completely gutted out deals with the
right.
Summer youth program. And there have been some language added specifically, and I neglected to mention with respect to the bill, that there is, for the ease of, I guess, legislation, on the back on page 6, there is a discussion that provides that if funds are available next summer,
right,
that this program continues. If not, the program doesn't. So that's the one element that's kind of still folded in with 23 and 98's original bill. So.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
Now, if I recall, that $12 million is going into Oregon OYCC, and they are administering that money. Is that the pot of money?
I don't think so.
Greg, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, Vice Chair Huffman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Greg White. I'm executive staff to the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. That $12 million is federal stimulus funding, especially for a summer youth program. That fund, those funds, the great majority of them, go out to the local workforce investment boards to operate summer youth programs around the state.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. Pots of money.
And the OICC is a separate pot of money.
So it was hers.
Well, you had your hand up. Do you want a different? Okay, Representative Escobar.
Yeah, the OICC is receiving a little over $6 million, and that's through Forest Service, I believe, so through that stimulus part of it. So
okay.
This is a different
that's
stream.
That's a pot of money.
And it's a different pot.
Too many ARA pots for me to keep up with here. Representative Holby.
So, yeah, I was just going to comment on that, what Sal just commented on. I'm curious how much of the money that goes into that Youth Employment Enhancement Fund is restricted to at-risk youth programs as opposed to just general youth programs.
Again, Representative Huffman and Representative Holvey, the summer youth program is very restricted. Youth that are served by the program must be low income and have at least one other barrier to employment.
Hello?
Yes.
So is that restriction, restriction earmarked from the federal government, from the federal funds?
Vice Chair Huffman, Representative Holvey, yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Representative Escobar.
We mean one other restriction. What does that mean?
Vice Chair Huffman, Representative Escobar, there's a list in the Federal Act of possible barriers to employment that youth may have that can range from lack of work experience up through being having a disability or other kinds. I'm not the expert to know all the list of what they consider to be barriers to employment, but I can almost guarantee that if a youth is low income, they do have one of these barriers.
Okay, thank you, Representative Holby.
Thank you, and so I'm curious. Do we have other funds in this bill that would be able to go to through the Youth Employment Enhancement Fund to youth programs that are not so restricted? Or are all the summer youth program funds restricted that way?
Vice Chair Huffman, Representative Holvey, all of the federal summer youth program funds are so restricted.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Holvey, on Art was here talking, I believe it was Art Pope, on the NYC.
Right.
Do you know how that has gone for him? I know he's been to meetings talking about their budget, and he had communicated with me that at least initially he was a little disappointed in what looked like may come out of it for that program.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I know they were in conversations. I mean, I think one of their concerns was that they traditionally have gotten contracts and projects through the Forest Service contracting, and now that these funds are going through OICC and through this, I'm not exactly sure that those projects would not be available to their organization anymore, and which would put their program in jeopardy. And so that concerned me a little bit. Mm-hmm. So. But I'm not sure if these funds are restricted from the federal government. There's not a lot you can do about that. So I lament that this stimulus money may in fact have a negative impact on their ability to survive. And they serve students from all over the state, and it's actually a program that keeps kids out of potentially being in the at-risk population. So I maybe Greg can share some more.
Vice Chair Huffman, Representative Holvey, I understand your concern. I'm not the one who has been involved in those conversations. I'd have to get back to you. But I would like to point out that the Forest Service funds are not in this bill.
Mm-hmm.
This is only for the summer youth portion, only the federal summer youth dollars through ARRA. And so that's a separate conversation.
Yeah, that's a good point, Greg, and I apologize. I was probably the one that brought that up and started muddying the water, and I probably shouldn't.
I just didn't want to have this bill drugged into that conversation necessarily. Thank you very much.
Good point. And Greg, we kind of drug you into the conversation with a question, but did you have any comments on behalf of OWIB or CAM or anybody regarding 2398?
Vice Chair Huffman, thank you very much. I did not come prepared for such a thing, but I will let you know that the Career Readiness Certificate especially has been of great concern, and there's a lot of enthusiasm from the Governor's Office, from the Oregon Workforce Investment Board. The Oregon Workforce Investment Board, through its original Manufacturing Committee in 2005, stated the need for such a certificate, and we've been, through the small amount of funds that's available to the Board, have been carefully nurturing that program until this point where we're ready to take it to scale. And all I can say is I extend the gratitude of the Workforce Investment Board and a lot of business and other folks out there to this committee for having had the foresight to put it into statute and give it the extra impetus that it needs. So I thank you very much for that.
Okay. Yes, Representative Dimbrough.
Greg, I don't know if you know yet, or perhaps I see Chris Caldwell in the room. What potential summer programs are lined up? I mean, you know, we talked about the restrictions, but as soon as we pass this legislation, we're going to be contacted by people I know about. So, you know, where are the jobs? How do we find out about them? What do we do? What's the pipeline?
Vice Chair Huffman, Representative Dimbrough, I wish I knew the whole laundry list, but let me tell you, there are some exciting programs planned. As I explained a couple of minutes ago, these funds go to local workforce investment boards. When they first heard that a summer youth program, which had been funded in the past under the Job Training Partnership Act, but when we got the Workforce Investment Act, we slowly lost the funding for summer youth programs that everybody says are essential for the development of youth for the workforce. When we heard that we were finally going to get those, I must say that the excitement at the local level was palpable. The local folks have stepped up and have done extremely careful and good planning. Obviously, it's a hurry-up situation. We got these funds just about a month ago, and the program must be on the ground for this summer. So generally in summer youth programs, that means May while kids are still in school, so you can recruit the kids for the program. So I must say that they stepped up in a really big way. I have heard several, I can tell you in general terms, there are some in the metro area, for example, they are exploring with the school districts actual school credit for participating in the summer youth program, an academic components so that kids don't lose over the summer, of all kinds of in various parts, both in private businesses as well as working with in governmental or nonprofit agencies. In the more rural parts of the state, we have some incredible programs planned. The Oregon Consortium, Oregon Workforce Alliance has, for example, they're doing some remote operated vehicle training with Oregon State. They have with the university folks, they're actually going to bring kids up to Paulina Lake and they're going to build a remote operated vehicle and look at the bottom, and the team that wins gets to go do it in Crater Lake.
Oh.
They're also going to do a program with a supported by this as a work experience, a video team of youth who are going to be documenting the progress and all of the exciting things that are happening with the stimulus funds all throughout their very large service area. So those are a couple I know of. Besides that, a lot of it is crew work or other kinds of things, because there are a lot of kids that have to go through. They say 3,000 to 5,000 youth this summer. So it's not all onesies and twosies. There's a lot of crew work. That's how you get your volume. But all of it will be paid work experience to the kids, and which will have a stimulative effect on the economy. It adds to the income of the families, and it gives the youth valuable work experience that they wouldn't otherwise have had.
Great. If If I could interject here, if we don't have anything more specific for Erica, I'd like to let her get back to work, if that's okay, if there's nothing. Okay, thank you, Erica.
Thank
I appreciate you,
you
coming. And why don't you come on up, and you can add to that. And we can maybe finish up on Representative Dembrough's question about specifics on the youth program.
Okay. For the record, my name is Krissa Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Commissioner from Community Colleges and Workforce Development, and I was involved with the federal stimulus and those parts. The federal stimulus money is one-time money, which we all know. As far as we know, with the Forest Service, there still is the regular funding they've done all along. Northwest Youth Corps is, of the $12 million we think is coming, we know $6 million. Of the $6.5 million, $250,000 is going directly to Northwest Youth Corps. They are one of about 40 service providers for the Forest Service. So the Forest Service wanted this money to be, make sure it spread throughout the entire state with particular emphasis on rural areas in the because of the higher unemployment. So the federal stimulus money is going to add crews all over the state. So in answer to the question of what are the jobs going to be, a lot of them are existing crews. They're going to add extra. If they have only one crew in a county, they're going to try to add two or three, especially in the rural areas. In Representative Denver's area, they've been doing a lot of work on career readiness with their youth, and this will enhance what they're doing. They're probably stretched to find enough placements with businesses, but that region, which the Portland area is very involved with the businesses in creating internships, on-the-job training, so they'll have a lot of paid placement summer jobs for youth. Does that, Representative Dembrough, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does partly, Krissa. But I'm also wondering how the kids and their families are going to find out about them, about these opportunities and the potential for placements. When they ask, what should I tell them?
A lot of, they are happening in your area with Work Assistance, Inc., so it would be through their providers that these families are working with already. I don't think that there's going to be like a mass marketing effort in the way there could be for some, but it'll be in existing programs. So if they're involved already with the services, they would have natural connection to those programs.
Mm-hmm. Would their schools be locuses of information? I mean, will guidance counselors be suggesting?
They ought to be. In a lot of areas with their Workforce Investment Act youth programs, some of their services are taking place within the career centers in the schools, because some of the services happen to in schools youth, some to out-of-school youth. And a big focus is with career planning. And so these on-the-job placements and paid work experiences are very important. Earn and learn kind of a model.
Right. Yeah, I think it's great. If I could just make one last point. I don't know if the infrastructure is there at this point for it, but ultimately, you know, we've talked a lot about using summer programs as skill-building kinds of activities. That is, to make them really complement or deal with the gaps that individual students might have in moving to graduation requirements. You know, if they have deficiencies in math or whatever, a particular job could allow them to both work on those deficiencies and have work experience.
Representative Dembrough, we have several models of things we're working on. I think you've already heard about the registered youth apprenticeship. We have one apprenticeship. There's a new registered youth apprenticeship in the Portland area. Tillamook Bay Community College and Tillamook High School have one, and then the Springfield Eugene area. And it's based on that. In that model, you have a student getting credit for apprenticeship that counts towards the adult apprenticeship, getting high school credit and getting community college credit. So our programs are very focused on helping students complete secondary and get them connected to post-secondary.
Perfect.
One other thing with Oregon Youth Conservation Corps that we did last year, it was about a year ago, we had a contractor hired through the Business Education Compact to work with the OICC curriculum on the proficiency-based credit. So we're doing a module of a time of the OICC curriculum so that a student that works in the summer on one of these programs can go back to school and get credit for what their experience has been. So if it's all appropriately documented and the curriculum's used, it's a great opportunity for proficiency-based credit. That curriculum has been distributed to all of our programs. And in the trainings in the summer and in the winter, they're working with the teachers, many of them in alternative schools, on how to use that curriculum.
Representative Foley.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. You brought up something that's always been a question in my mind, I suppose. And so, you know, as you're describing the youth apprenticeship and the ability to get credit towards adult apprenticeship or the regular apprenticeship programs in the schools, and while they're getting also credit for, I assume, community college degrees or whatever they're working on as well. I'm curious, do people that attend the trainings in the registered apprenticeship programs, do they get credit for those courses and classes in the pursuit of community college degrees?
Representative Hovey, in the ideal model, they do, but the credit, I believe they can get the AA degree, but it's the apprenticeship, the adult apprenticeship credit that is new to us for them to be able to get that. And it's the if they're a registered apprenticeship, then the unions are involved. And we've been working with Steve Sims from Boley on this project, and that would be a result. Would be the community college credit while they are in high school. So the perfect blend, they get their high school diploma, they get an AA degree, and they get the credits for the adult apprenticeship. So they are in the program. I'm not answering your question.
No, I'm looking at it from the other angle. The people that are actually in the apprenticeship programs now and they're completing apprenticeship programs and taking courses
credit.
As well, do those courses give them credit towards an AA and in the community college system?
Representative Hovey, yes, they do.
Thank you.
Anything else? Any other questions? Greg, Krissa, thank you. I was hoping Representative Hovey Esquivel would wander back in before we proceeded on the dash force. So let's be at ease for just a moment. Back on the record for the work session for HB 2398. If there's no more discussion, I would entertain a motion to adopt the Dash 4 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 4 as an appendix to Bill 2398, House Bill 2398.
Representative Esquivel has put a motion before us to adopt the Dash 4 amendments for HB 2398. Any discussion? Any questions? Any thoughts? Have we killed it? As Senator Betsy Johnson likes to say, we've killed this horse.
I think, Mr. Vice Chair, we've given it birth.
there we go. I like that, Representative Holby.
It's a beautiful baby bill. Congratulations.
Congratulations, gentlemen. but we digress. Okay.
Wow.
Is there any opposition? Everybody's in favor. Okay, Dash 4s have been adopted to House Bill 2398. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Well, first of all, this is not a referral to the Ways and Means.
It is subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Esquivel, the way it works is we do have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with respect to this. This goes to the full committee, Business and Labor, okay, which will be, I believe, scheduled for tomorrow, actually, depending upon what the committee chooses to do in the next few seconds here. So,
Mr. Chair, I move 2398 as amended with the dash 4 amendments as an appendage to Ways and Means. Well, I guess to the House floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is that where we're going?
I think the motion would be to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. I think it's incumbent upon the full committee then to make the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. To the full business and labor committee.
The motion would.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm moving it to 2398 as amended to the Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
May I?
Are we doing a subcommittee?
Via the full business and labor.
Via the full business and labor committee.
Can we use via?
Business.
Oh, that's right. That's right. No.
MasterCard.
I think what we'd have to do.
Can we just go straight to business?
Let's think about it. We just go to business and labor. We don't have to talk about Ways and Means right now.
They'll do the referral.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2398 as amended with the dash 4 amendments as an appendage to the Business and Labor Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Esquivel. We have a motion before us.
Thanks for confusing me with the facts.
Representative Esquivel, if I can repeat that, has...
Probably not.
Is a motion before us to... pass House Bill 2398 to the full committee on business and labor as amended with the dash 4 amendments. Any discussion?
With the due pass recommendation.
With the due pass recommendation.
Yes.
Now we have all the components there. Representative Dembrough.
Sir, thank you. I just want to say that this bill was a long time coming to us, but I think in this form it really encapsulates the core principles of what we're trying to achieve in this committee. I think the career readiness certificate, partnership programs, high school, the unions, community colleges, bringing it all together, having that kind of communication and sort of career paths for people, as well, of course, as being, I would say, one of the most successful bills at leveraging federal dollars. I think it's a winner, and I'm pleased to be voting on it.
Representative Colby.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I just wanted to thank all the committee members and their efforts and paying attention to this bill and really working it through, but especially to Chair Witt for, you know, his hard work on putting all the pieces together and trying and making all the things happen around this bill with the governor's office and the stakeholders, as well as, you know, the rampant ideas coming out of this subcommittee as well. I think he's just really done an extraordinary job along with the administrator in getting this through. It's a great piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative Holley. I couldn't agree more. It even involved, I believe, a separate and private meeting with the governor, and at a number of points, I know, you know, Kevin was so instrumental in keeping the ball in the air when it looked like it might be dead, but...
Chair Witt, would you like to say something?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. I just want to thank the committee for all of their patience, and particularly Kevin and the community colleges for all the work that's gone on in the background for a good number of months. This is a landmark bill. This will be exceedingly important to both workforce and economic development to the state. And were I able, I would shout for joy over this motion.
Congratulations.
Did you start the Godfather's
business? I'm not sure, Representative Esquivel.
I apologize for the comedy routine this morning, but clearly on the record, Chair Witt's job is not at risk.
Good job.
So if there are no other comments, Keith, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Dembrough.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Vice Chair Huffman?
Aye.
Chair Witt?
Aye.
Having received the necessary majority vote and approval, HB 2398 is passed. Anything else for the good of the order or the in order to be good or something like that?
What kind of schedule are we looking at now?
Kevin, would you like to give us a preview of any upcoming events?
Do you want to close the work session?
We're going to close the work session on HB 2398.
Members of the committee, right now we're in a bit of a holding pattern. I guess our instructions has been at this point that we're holding off scheduling Senate bills until we clear next Tuesday's boundary. I know we're looking at possibly an informational meeting. We will be in contact with you over that in the next day or so once we have some more information. Just as an issue of note, it's my understanding, and I will correct this if it's wrong in my consultations with the administrator for the full Business and Labor Committee, that this is up for a vote tomorrow. That's our urgency in getting this done. So this will be going up to the big committee, and provided that we can get it heard, which I hear the list is getting long and I don't even know the adjective to use at this point, but it is for tomorrow. So for Representative Huffman and Demro, who are not there, I'm not sure when it is. If you're interested in showing up, I'll see if I can get some information so that you guys, if you'd like to, can be there as well. I know that you have, I think, human services that keeps you quite busy. So, but that's kind of where we're at.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. And I was just thinking, I know Kevin's working on an education schedule with a potential additional meeting, and I didn't know if maybe Tuesday at 8 a.m. if we're not busy in this committee. I just thought I would throw that out. So, but that's a different subject. Okay, if there's nothing else, we're adjourned.